It is my privilege now to present to you Florian and Susan Smith. We're going to present our reflection this morning.
Before I begin my talk that I had planned here this morning, I just wanted to tell you what a pleasure it is for Susan and I to be with you all this morning. What a wonderful group of faith-filled people. It's just wonderful to be with you this morning. I truly admire you as a congregation and as a church. So, joy and peace be with you this morning, and good morning to all of you. As Father Bishop said, my name is Florian Smith, and my wife Susan and I are here on behalf of the Assumption Sisters of Nairobi. First, I'd like to thank Father Bishop and Miss Jenny Hall for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. Normally, a priest or a religious sister would be making this appeal, but due to the many difficult conditions that are currently experienced in Kenya, my dear friend, Sister Teresia Mwendi, is unable to be here. I'm very honored and feel extremely blessed to be able to share my experiences with the Assumption Sisters with you all today. In making arrangements to speak with you, Jenny told me that I'd be speaking after the readings of the Word. In reading the text for this weekend, it became clear that this would be an easier task than I had first expected. As you have heard, this Sunday's readings are often referred to as apocalyptic literature that describes the end times, the coming of Jesus Christ. In that first reading from Daniel, the prophet declares, "But the wise shall shine brightly, and those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever." Since 1959, the Assumption Sisters of Nairobi have been leading many to justice and shining brightly to the sick, the infirmed, the disenfranchised, the poor, and the forgotten within their own communities. Bringing the light of Christ to all those they serve is a commitment that they live every day. In the second reading of Hebrews, it's told how Christ gave himself the ultimate sacrifice, his life, for the forgiveness of all sin. The Assumption Sisters joyfully join in the work of proclaiming Jesus Christ's sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin and the promise of eternal salvation to all whom they encounter. And lastly, in Mark's Gospel, when we look at Christ's words apart from their description of the end times, we can see the words, "The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky." This can often describe our own personal feelings when we deal with death, disease, or disaster. By these everyday trials, we can feel utterly devastated. It's the same devastation that many Kenyans feel daily. Their fear of terrorism, hunger, physical violence, and illness leads to shattered dreams and hopelessness, which only the Word of God and the promise of His eternal embrace can overcome. The Assumption Sisters are committed to delivering this promise by their ongoing ministry of spiritual formation, compassion, and service, and education every day to the people they serve. These sisters are a group of indigenous, dedicated women native to their homeland of Kenya, East Africa, who were founded in 1959 in the Archdiocese of Nairobi. Their ministries renew and revive the lives of many Kenyans while instilling in them a deep spiritual formation and an enduring love of God. The compassion and love of these sisters exhibit within their ministries is truly beyond words and parallels the love and compassion that Jesus shows to each one of us. The sisters are called to live out the gospel message of Jesus Christ, who came so that all may have life and have it to the full. I became associated with the Assumption Sisters some 15 years ago through my pastor, Father David Beck. He had given living accommodations to the three of his sisters at his parish in Toledo, Ohio. They were bravely arrived here to begin their mission appeal work in the United States. Father Beck had only two brothers in his family, so these three religious quickly became his sisters for the short time that they were here in Ohio. Several years after keeping in touch with them in Africa, his sisters invited Father Beck, my wife Susan, and I to visit them in Kenya. What we saw and experienced in Kenya was truly awe-inspiring. I had never visited Africa before this trip, but what I saw and experienced there profoundly changed my life. In January, after 3 years, we returned to Kenya to revisit our beloved sisters. I cannot adequately convey the impact of these experiences, but I'll try. Father Beck, Susan, and I saw firsthand the ministries these sisters have created and their absolute and complete devotion to carrying them on. The HIV/AIDS pandemic kills many people every day in Kenya. Hence, many orphans are left in the slums to fend for themselves. Without these sisters, many of the children would perish. We visited the St. Martin Primary School. Grades K through 12, started and run by the sisters, where many of these disadvantaged and orphaned children studied and sang and danced with great enthusiasm. There was a joy and an excitement about their futures and for their lives that was tangible and real. Street children have increased in large numbers due to the AIDS crisis and poverty. The sisters provide rehabilitation through education, counseling, vocational training, as well as providing for their basic everyday needs. On another trip, we visited with the physically challenged students at the Cheshire House. We saw these students learning life-sustaining skills such as cooking, dressmaking, artistic drawing, and card making, being taught by loving and caring instructors. The students were enthusiastic and exuded joy that was unmistakable. Their broad smiles were infectious. I recall one Sunday, Father Beck, Sister Mwendi, Susan, and I were traveling to a rural village of about 200, about 25 miles north of Nairobi, where he was to say Mass. As luck would have it, we had a flat tire on the way, which, because of the terrain, took us some time to change. So I suggested to Sister Mwendi that we should call ahead and let the people know that we'd be late. She said, "Oh no, that won't be necessary. You see, these people gather at 9 a.m. every Sunday in their best and finest Sunday clothes and begin to sing and to dance, and to pray, and to pray, and to dance, and to sing." About 11 a.m., they go outside the church to socialize and greet their neighbors. At about 11:45, they return to the church again to sing, and to dance, and to pray. If no priest showed up by 1 p.m., they'd return home. Sister Mwendi assured me that it was not important to call ahead. The congregation would be there waiting for us. The spirituality imparted by these sisters in all their ministries was very apparent in the way these Kenyans worshiped God. On this last trip, we met Margaret, a teacher in the primary school who had graduated from the St. Martin School. She'd received an academic scholarship to a public Kenyan university, received her teaching degree, and returned to the school from which she had graduated to, quote, give back and to pay forward the gifts that she had received from the Assumption Sisters. But Margaret's case is an exception. Women are the most disadvantaged in Africa, as most are given in marriage at a very young age. Upon completion of primary school, there is very little opportunity for them to receive higher education. One of the dreams of the Assumption Sisters has been to start a university, a place where these underprivileged and disadvantaged who graduate from the schools can go on to further education and to begin to earn a living to share the gifts that they have been given. Just 4 years ago, the Regina Pacis University College, a division of Catholic University of Eastern Africa, was opened. This college was begun by the Assumption Sisters and began a pathway to a Bachelor of Science degree in nursing. This spring, the sisters jubilantly graduated their first nursing class of 8 nurses. That fulfilled the hopes and dreams of the order and its leaders. I ask you to think of the difficulty here in America we would face in trying to create a university from the ground up. This is the problem the sisters face today. After adopting a converted building, they face the problem of current textbooks, usable computers, building libraries, and attracting committed and qualified teachers. In the future, as time and funds allow, there are plans to expand the college to obtain a degree in education. The sisters realize that education is the key to bring change to their country, to their people. But this all costs money. On a previous trip, we visited the first class that began the nursing degree course. I asked one of the students why they were there. And she said, to give hope to the hopeless. That's why I'm here today, to ask you to give hope to the hopeless. And as believers in Jesus Christ, to allow living waters to flow to those who we do not know, and have hope and compassion for those we know only as the body of Christ. I ask you to open your hearts and respond to the needs of these people. I ask you to see how God can change lives and answer the cries of the poor with your financial help, no matter the size of your contribution. There will be a collection today, and your donations will go solely to the support of the Assumption Sisters of Nairobi. If you're unable to donate today, please return an envelope marked Assumption Sisters, and Jenny will see that it gets forwarded to the sisters. Susan and I will be available after Mass if you had any questions or if you need further information. So with that, I'd leave you with the words of Thomas Merton from his new Seeds of Contemplation. Merton begins, "Let us hear the call of him who has no voice and yet speaks in everything that is, and who most of all speaks in the depths of our own being, for we ourselves are words of his. But we are words that are meant to respond to him, to answer him, to echo him. It is this echo, this deep resonance in our spirit, by which our very life loses its separate voice and resounds with the majesty and the mercy of the hidden and living one." Thank you for the opportunity. If there are any questions, or Jenny would like any questions that we'd like to ask as a congregation, or we'll be available after. Jenny will show some pictures up here. This is the inherited building that they inherited. It was built for another purpose and went bankrupt, and they got the building, and that's the beginning of the Regina Pacis University. This is the group from left to right. It's Susan and I and Father Beck. And Sister Mwendi on the far right, and the family, her extended family, and her brother, and some nephews, and the one on the back row on the far left is a lady that accompanied us to Kenya. As you see many times in, I always refer to Slumdog Millionaire, anyone who has seen that movie, this is very similar to the slums in Nairobi, Kenya, a city of about 4 million people. That these people, they're mud huts. This was the rural village where the children and the people dressed in their finest clothes tub and sang and danced, and there was just a joy and a happiness. If I could convey one thought to you about the people of Kenya, there's just a happiness, a joy of just being alive and being able to worship God and do what they can do. And now with the terrible things that are happening over there, it's very difficult for all of them. This is the valley. Every inch, almost, of the valley that they have, something's grown, from coffee to tea to mangoes to whatever. It's a very fertile valley. Mount Kilimanjaro there in the background, you can see it way off in the back. This is the, I believe it's the Ruhr Valley that runs down through North Africa and up through Egypt. Just a lush, beautiful place.
You want to tell them about going to Las Vegas and the talk she gave out there?
Oh, yes. Jenny does all the hard work. We have committed to the sisters that due to the difficulty that they have to come to this country with visas, visas used to be given by the State Department, but since 9/11, Homeland Security has taken that over, and while I respect our need for safety, they have become very critical of anyone coming from parts of the world that there is terror, and Al-Shabaab is available or active in Kenya now, out of Somalia. Yes, and so it's very expensive, first of all, to make an application for the sisters, and for whatever reason, they have been denied. So we went to the sisters and said, if you'll give us your blessing, we'll try to raise funds for you. And Jenny does all the hard work. She just points us in a direction where we can go and give a mission talk like we are giving today. And this past summer, we went to Las Vegas. And I was telling her, as it is a joy being here with you, it is a joy being with other congregations who worship slightly differently, but there were 9 masses in a parish of approximately 8,000. And there were 3 Spanish masses and 6 English masses from Friday, or from Saturday at 4 o'clock till Sunday at 6 o'clock in the evening. And the church held about 900 people. And Father Beck, that you saw in the picture there, did the Spanish masses, because I'm not fluent in Spanish. And what was really awe-inspiring was the church. They had 3 Spanish masses due to many Central Americans and Spanish-speaking people who work in the casinos and things in Las Vegas. And so they offer them a Saturday night, a Sunday night, and a Sunday morning so that they can accommodate. But all 3 of the masses, the Spanish masses, were standing room only within the church of about 900 possible. And outside, they had speakers on the church where probably 150 or 200 people sat on the lawn or in chairs that they had brought and heard the Mass but could not see it. And the other 6 Masses were just wonderfully accompanied by ethnic varieties from Filipino to Latino to Americans. But it's just the church is alive out there, the people are alive, and the amount of money that we collected out there was way beyond our wildest dream, and it was nothing that we did. It was by the grace of God and the gift of these people. But, yes, and the families, especially the Hispanic families, were just, all the children were there. Sometimes 4, 5, 6 children per family would be there. And their joy and excitement of worshiping God was something that we're unaccustomed to here. And almost excitement about going to church. Any other questions, Jenny? Anyone else?
How many sisters are actually officially with
the Assumption Sisters? 215. And I'm pretty sure this is correct. They are the only, not that it makes a lot of difference, but they're the only Vatican-approved order of religious nuns in Africa. And I'm not sure what all that means, but the Vatican endorses their work. They do a very small mission work in Jamaica, but most of their work is in Africa. And to set in their chapel, we go to chapel every morning with their little, be a sister in there playing a little skin drum, and they'd sing, and it had a rounded ceiling in it, and just to hear the joy and the beauty of their singing and praising God every morning before we do whatever we did was just amazing stuff. But I encourage you, as you are the body of Christ, remember them as the body of Christ, because we are all in this together. We're all children of God, and it's our responsibility of the haves to help those who don't have as much. But we can learn a lot from their joy and their praise of God, and just their just happiness in doing that. Are there any other questions? As I say, if you have one-on-one questions or something, Susan and I will be available afterwards. I can't thank my wife, Susan. I was telling her this morning of how thankful I am that she accompanies me and keeps me going and keeps me straight. We just celebrated last summer 48 years of being together. So, by the grace of God, we'll continue to do what we can for the sisters and try to do the best we can for everyone. So thank you very much for allowing me to be here. God bless you all, and good luck to all of you.